It's a wonderful thing to learn to give thanks, not just as a formality, but from our heart, especially to our parents and teachers. Sometimes we take them for granted. I want to encourage all of you. I encourage my own children always to be thankful for those who took the trouble to teach them anything. So I said that we would consider three spiritual laws. And if you remember, the first I said was the law of humility. God gives grace to the humble, and exemplified in the life of Jesus Christ, who was born in a cowshed and washed his disciples' feet on the last day of his life on earth. And then yesterday I spoke on the law of faith, that it's an insult to a person if you don't trust him. And it's an insult to God if you don't trust him. When God gives us laws which are for our good, and we don't trust him, by despising or rejecting those laws, we're actually insulting God. I don't know whether you realize that. And when the devil says something else and you listen to that, you're actually saying in a moment of temptation, if you yield to it, God, I prefer the devil over you. I prefer telling a lie than speaking the truth. I prefer cheating rather than being honest. You don't realize that at that moment, you're making a choice. God, I reject you. I'm choosing the devil. The wonderful thing about God is that he forgives, and he forgives, and he forgives. But we shouldn't take advantage of God's goodness there. So today I want to speak about the law of love. Let me first of all read you a verse in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 22. The Jewish people, who the leaders of the Jews, they felt that the greatest commandment was to keep Saturday, the Sabbath, free from all work. So they came to Jesus and asked him to try and test him. In Matthew 22, verse 36, which is the great commandment in the law? And they were waiting to, they knew that Jesus wouldn't say the Sabbath, because he did a lot of work on the Sabbath, like healing people and helping people, because those guys had misunderstood what resting means on the Sabbath day. It didn't mean that you can't help others. So he said, I'll tell you what the greatest commandment is. Love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Now, they'd asked only for one commandment, but he said, I can't keep that by itself, because the second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourselves, like two sides of a coin. He was saying that you can't say you love God if you don't love your neighbor. So they asked for one commandment, and he said, actually, the law of love involves two sides. And you don't have to turn to it, but let me read you a verse in 1 John chapter 4, which says in the last verse there, if a man says that he loves God and he cannot love his brother, verse 20 and 21, he's a liar. It's very important. If I say I love God and I can't love that fellow human being, I'm a liar. I'm not a believer, I'm a liar. Very, very important to understand how seriously God takes the law of love. And of course, God has demonstrated it. You know, in the cross there are two arms, one vertical and one horizontal. They speak of love in two directions. As far as God is concerned, it speaks of his love for us, the horizontal part for us. That big arm speaks of our love for God, and the horizontal arm speaks of our love for one another. That's the law of love we see on the cross. And the vertical arm of the cross is always bigger than the horizontal arm of the cross, showing that our love for God must come first, and that's the greatest. Based on that, we have the horizontal arm of love for one another. And every law that God has given is for our good. Now, if I realize that, I would gladly accept it. You know, our parents, for example, give us food, give you food at home, which they know is for your good. They know the foods that are not for your good and the foods that are for your good. Because there are certain types of food, if you eat too much of it, you get sick. And There are a lot of other things which we may not like to eat, like vegetables and all, which are good for us. So there are, God's laws are like that. Sometimes we don't realize they are for our good, because we say they don't taste nice. The question is not, is it tasty or not? Is it good for my body? We follow that principle in food. The same way here, love involves self-denial. I cannot love God without denying some desire of mine. I cannot love another person without denying my own selfishness. And God has demonstrated that by, He doesn't ask us to do what He never did Himself. You know, a good leader has to go in front. Jesus said the good shepherd goes in front of the sheep. So if He tells us to love, He has demonstrated it Himself. You know that well-known verse, God so loved the world that He gave His Son. So, would you give your body to die to save someone who is not even your friend but your enemy? Would you take a risk, even if you know swimming, to jump into a lake to save someone who is drowning if it's your enemy? That's an amazing demonstration of love. That the Bible says, when we were enemies of God, when we did not listen to Him, when we violated our conscience, God showed His love for us by coming down in the form of man and dying for us. This is the unique, there are three unique things about Christianity which distinguish it. I have to tell the truth from every other faith in the world. Number one, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. It was a supernatural miracle when God produced a baby in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And that's the first miracle, because no human being has ever been born of a virgin without an earthly father. That's the first thing that distinguishes Jesus Christ from all other people, and therefore distinguishes Christianity from everything else. And secondly, Jesus was the only person who came to earth and said, I've come here primarily to die for the sins of the world. No one ever claimed that they came to die for the sins of the world except Jesus Christ. And the third is, He's the only one who rose up from the dead. No human being has ever risen up from the dead and lived forever. There are people who Jesus raised from the dead who died again. So here are the three unique features about Christ. He was born of a virgin. He said He came to die for the sins of the world, and He died. And third, He rose from the dead. And this is what gives me the confidence that the one whom I place faith in is the Savior of the world. Because He stands out over all the others. Now, I'm not here to criticize any religion. I'm here to point out the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. And His love for us is manifested in giving Himself on the cross to die for our sins. You know, many people ask, what is the need for somebody to die for our sins? I mean, you say, if I break a plate at home and I say, Mommy, I'm sorry. Mom says, it's okay, it's only a plate, forget it. That's true, that if sin, a violation of God's laws, was as unimportant as or irrelevant as breaking a plate, God could just say, okay, you're forgiven. Every time you say, Lord, I'm sorry, He forgives you. But sin is not such a serious thing. The reason why we think sin is just like breaking a plate or a cup is because we don't see how serious sin is. You know, if you're not a doctor, there could be sicknesses in the body which you don't even realize how serious it is. For example, I'm sure there was cancer throughout human history, but it's only in this last century that people discovered the seriousness of cancer. Where do you hear of people dying of cancer in 100, 200 years ago? I'm sure they died, but nobody knew it was cancer. Nobody knew how serious it was. They attributed it to something else. It's like that. And we don't realize the seriousness of sin. We think it's a little thing like breaking a cup or a saucer. No. Think, on the other hand, if a man is a judge and his own son is standing in court for having committed 100 murders. 100 murders. And that's his own son. And he says, son, I've got to punish you. And he says, dad, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I killed all those fellas. Don't you let me go? You're my dad. Don't you love me? And the dad has to say, listen, I cannot spare you because you committed something serious. So, that is how serious sin is. If I can equate every sin with 100 murders. Now you may think that's an exaggeration. But one day when Christ comes back and we stand before him, you will see that what I said is true. That sin is a very serious thing. Even telling a lie, cheating, hating someone, having a bitterness, not forgiving somebody. These are all serious things. And so what does the Father do? He says, I have to condemn you to death, even though I love you. Now, in human justice, that father cannot go down and say, okay, son, I'll die in your place. Because that would be a violation of the law. But since God is the ruler of the universe, he said, I will die in your place. You have to be punished. Punishment is death for sin. I'll come down and die for you. Because otherwise, if God didn't do that, if he just forgave us without having paid the price, that would have destroyed the foundations of justice in this universe. Because the creator of this universe has violated the law by letting somebody go without punishment for the crime. Justice, it requires punishment for a crime. That's why Jesus had to die. And that is how he manifested his love for us. And the Bible says, when we understand that love for us, we love him in return. When I realize that somebody paid a price for me, if I had a huge debt of, say, 10 crores of rupees, and somebody went and paid that debt and said, Zach, you're free, won't I be grateful to him? I'd say, wow, you saved me from a lifetime debt. I'll do anything for you, man. Would you hesitate to do anything for him? This is the way I saw myself 58 years ago when I realized deep down in my heart that Christ had died for me personally. I said, Lord, I'll do anything for you. I mean, my goal was set to go to be the Admiral of the Navy. I mean, I was headed in that direction. I was working towards it. And then all of a sudden, Christ came into my heart and I realized that that's a good goal, but there's something greater than that. And that is to preach the gospel and lead other people to this wonderful salvation. And that's what I've been doing for 50 years now since I quit my job. And that's been far greater than being in any position on this earth. And it was not because I was compelled to do it. I resigned my job voluntarily because I felt God loved me so much and I have to respond to him. Now, God doesn't call everybody to leave their job. God calls 1 in 1,000 believers to leave their job. The others are to love him and serve in their secular job, but manifest their love for him. So here's one way we manifest our love for him, and that is by loving others. I'll tell you a story of a man whom I consider to be the greatest Christian, whom I consider to be the greatest Christian India has ever seen. He died in 1929. His name was Sundar Singh, more commonly known as Sadhu Sundar Singh. He was born in a Sikh family, but he was seeking for the true God and he didn't know. He once was so angry with Christians, he tore the Bible in two and said, you guys are teaching falsehood. But he was so earnest to seeking after God. Imagine a 14-year-old, what is that, 8th standard student, seeking for God. And one day early in the morning, around 4:30 or so, he had a bath and he said, okay, let me look at this Bible. And he started reading it and he prayed, oh God, whoever you are, reveal yourself to me. And he saw a vision, just like the Apostle Paul did, of Jesus Christ. He was absolutely surprised because he didn't expect to see Jesus Christ in his vision. And Jesus said, why do you hate me? I love you. And it changed his life completely. He surrendered his life to Christ and he became, I would call, the greatest evangelist that India has seen. He lived up to the age of 42 and he went around preaching the gospel in Tibet and many parts of North India and traveled all over India and many people saw him. He traveled around the world. And I've met people who saw him. I mean, he died 10 years before I was born. But I've met older people who said they have seen him. And they said the thing that struck me about Sadhu Sundar Singh was the purity of his eyes. You know, our eyes look at a lot of sinful things and we don't realize the eyes become corrupt through that. And most people's eyes are full of lust and pride and so many other things. But here was a young boy who from a very young age decided to look into the face of Christ, and he looked for so long that his eyes were pure. I'll tell you a story about him. He loved Jesus with all his heart, but it manifested in love for others. He used to travel to Tibet over the mountains, and one day he was going up those mountains along with other monk and with another monk of some other religion, I think a Tibetan monk. And they were both going up this snowy slope of the Himalayas, and they had to reach a particular village before sunset, otherwise the winds would be so cold they would die. So they were hurrying up, and as they were going up, they saw the body of a man lying on the snow in front of them, obviously a traveler who had gone in front of them. And they said, well, what can we do? Probably he's dead. But Sundar Singh said, hey, hang on, let me just check. And they checked and knelt down, and he said, hey, he's alive. And so the other monk said, we can't carry him now, because we'll get delayed and all three of us will die. And Sundar Singh said, no, I can't leave a fellow human being. I don't know who he is, but I can't leave a fellow human being to die when he's alive if I can help him. So he told the other monk, you go ahead, I'll carry him. And Sundar Singh took that man's body on his shoulder because he was still breathing. And the other man went ahead, and Sundar Singh was slowed down in his pace. The winds became cold. And after a while, Sundar Singh saw the other monk who had gone ahead of him, his body on the ground, dead, because the winds were so cold. He died of the cold. He bent down and said, no life. And then he wondered how he himself had not died with the wind being beating on him so cold. And then he realized that the effort of carrying this body had produced heat in his body. You know how we perspire when we do some hard work? So that produced heat in his body that protected him from the cold. And he reached the village and saved that life too. Of course, the other man who went ahead was dead. And Sundar Singh used to tell the story about his own life, saying the truth of what Jesus said. If you try to save your own life, you will lose it. But he was willing to lay down his life in obedience to God, he will save it. And that's the principle, that if I follow God's laws and I deny myself in order to love another person and show my love to another person and, you know, deny myself in some way, ultimately, God will reward me in some wonderful way. So you'll never lose out by putting Christ first in your life. You never lose out by showing your love to another, even if it means self-denial to yourself. I pray that all of you will learn that lesson. The first step to that is to do what Sundar Singh did. To open his heart. He said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. That's a very simple act. In a moment, that young boy was converted, and in a moment you can be converted too. Let's stand up and pray. So while our heads are bowed in prayer, I want to tell you something, that God never forces himself into anybody's life. It's always a voluntary choice, because he's given us all a free will. And it's your decision whether you want to yield that will and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me on the cross and I believe you rose again. You're alive today. I want you to come into my life and be Lord of my life and help me to live the way you want man to live. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you, Father, for these dear young people. I pray that all of them will have a very fulfilling life as they grow up. They'll do well in school and follow your principles and live for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.